Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you my servants any longer, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Carrie was a student of mine when I worked at the Educational Opportunity Program at Wichita State University. She was a returning adult student. She was a single parent, a mother with an adult child who had special needs. She was passionate and caring. She was also a Pentecostal preacher, though I do not know that she necessarily had a church where she preached. Carrie was adamant that unless something was done specifically in the name of Jesus Christ, it did not count as being in Christ. We disagreed on that. It did not change the fact, though, that there were days when she would walk into my office and she would take one look at me and say, "You need a song." And then she would close the door to my office and sing me a spiritual. Oftentimes, sitting there, bathed in the gracious blessing of her spiritual and spirit-filled song, this gift of love, I had tears in my eyes. Financially, Carrie was poor. During my second year in seminary, she went to the trouble of learning my address and sending me a care package. It had small gifts, thoughtful gifts of this and of that, as well as $25. Now, I knew that $25 for Carrie was pretty substantial. It was a lot of money for her. And so I am still humbled to this day that she would show her love and her support and her affirmation for me like that. Too often I fail to live up to her witness of grace. Oftentimes when the church reads the scriptures, the voices of tradition and historic interpretation and the synthesis among the various readings so homogenizes the story that too many people miss the reality of what the scripture bears. Diversity. For Carrie, if it was not done overtly in the name of Jesus, it didn't count. For me, God works in much more expansive ways. For some, only prayer to the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, counts as worthy prayer. For others, a simple gesture and a thanksgiving may be sufficient for the moment. Last week, the church heard about one who is presumed to be too far outside to be let in. And this one asked the question, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And the answer was, "Nothing. Not status as a eunuch, not status as being of burnt skin," which is the direct translation for that which we translate Ethiopian, "not being a slave, not being wealthy, not serving the queen of Ethiopia, nothing prevents that one being baptized." This week, the church hears the conclusion of a long series of episodes that are pretty astounding. Peter has a vision inviting him to eat food that is coming down on a blanket, food that is deemed to be unclean by Jewish law. And the voice from heaven ultimately has to say to him outright, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This all is leading up to the moment we heard this morning. You see, before that happened, a Roman centurion had seen an angel of God who told him to send some of his men to Joppa to this guy named Simon Peter. And Peter, as Peter was puzzling over his vision, the men from that Cornelius showed up. They told him what Cornelius had sent them to say. And Peter responds immediately. He goes to Cornelius' house. Now, Cornelius is identified as both a centurion and God-fearing, as Roman and as well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. Cornelius, of the oppressor class, falls to his knees at the foot of Peter, a Jewish man. These are surprising reversals. This is such a stunning story at so many levels. And in that, Peter preaches a sermon that is included on every Easter Sunday morning. It includes these words: "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to God." Big words. And all of that sets up this moment that the Holy Spirit fills all who hear Hear that weird word. The Jews who were with Peter, the uncircumcised believers, were astounded. You see, this is just not how they understood that it would go. And for some of the church who rigidly hold to specific order and ways of being, it all gets turned upside down. The scriptures offer over and over again diverse ways that God chooses revelation. This week it is Peter, the rock, the foundation of the church, who looks around and asks the question, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit? Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing? From the earliest church, leaders, key leaders, have been taking positions for greater and greater inclusion. Their response to God's Spirit brings controversy every single time. The more the church sits with Scripture, the more these patterns become clear. The Spirit calls the faithful beyond their limits, beyond their expectations, beyond their divisions. The Spirit calls the faithful to love like Jesus in a way of service, in a way that extends fellowship, in a way that worships the very truth of God's magnitude, while there is often a cost to such boldness. The grace of God is sufficient for the day. Now is the time to watch for the movement of the Holy Spirit and to do so deeply dive into scriptures that God's presence and activity can be discerned. Carrie knew it when she saw it. I pray that I do too. In this, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church commits itself to share Christ in faith, fellowship, and service, following the way that Jesus shows us and that the earliest church sought to learn.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.